This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, the 10th of January, and we're looking forward to the 17th of January because we got multiple tournaments coming up here on the Tally Broadcasting Stations.
Indeed we do. We now have not only the Macoupin County Basketball Tournament, which we've been broadcasting since the dawn of time, which is all right. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's dirt.
And then there's the Macoupin County Tournament. Actually, the second oldest county tournament in the state of Illinois. And, of course, and then this year we're going to have some Litchfield Invitational Tournament coverage as well involving the county team. So,
and that's very exciting because this Litchfield Invitational Tournament has really turned into a premier type of event where you get a nice mixture of the smaller 1A, 2A schools, the bigger 3A, 4A schools. And it's really one of those tournaments. They got the pool play. Feeding into bracket play. It's got the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it really does. And you know, Greenville got the number one seed, and we'll talk more about it a little bit later on. But Greenville got the number one seed. Taylorville is into the tournament this year. The defending champions, Civic Memorial, are back. They were the number three seed. And Litchfield got the number four seed this year, as the Purple Panthers are now, I think they won their 10th game last night.
10-5.
So, you know, should be an interesting tournament. We always talk about the benchmarks during a season. You know, you start off with most teams with turkey tournaments, and once you get to the Christmas tournament, you kind of look at things and say, well, you know, what do we need to do? How are they going to do? By the time you get to the mid-season tournaments, like the Macoupin County, and actually for the girls, it's late-season tournament because the regionals are about a month away now. You know, you're looking at really what you have, and pretty much what you have is what you're going to go with. So
that 4-5 seed at the Litchfield tournament has always pretty regularly been you know, a toss-up. Last year, Roxana was the 4 seed, Civic Memorial was the 5, and Civic Memorial won the whole tournament. Yeah. So.
And Litchfield's a 4, and Mount Zion's a 5 this year. So,
and no matter the tournament, that 4-5 game is generally always a good one.
That is. And it could be NCAA, it could be anything, but a 4-5 is always a great matchup. Yeah. So, 5-12, you know, those are great matchups too. So,
that's right. Hillsborough is in the seed pool. I think Hillsborough is seeded
6th
in the tournament. Of course, they had a big loss here a couple weeks ago with Dylan Miller going down. We're going to hopefully catch up with Joe Vanzo in about 10 minutes here on Sports Saturday and kind of get the mindset of the Toppers here as they have lost Dylan Miller. Reports that I'm hearing, initially I heard 6 weeks when I was at Litchfield on Tuesday night, but that's basically been cut in half to about 3 weeks. You never know. Probably 3 weeks and pending, really. I mean, because
had this been 10 years ago, it would have been 6 weeks. Maybe it's 3 weeks now.
You just never know.
Yeah, you never know.
It could be 2 weeks.
And it's amazing how the rehabilitation process has been improved. And, of course, these guys have youth on their side.
That always helps. That helps.
That's the biggest plus, right?
I never
there.
Really appreciated that until recently. <You're right. laughs> But Hillsborough, too, they have, of course, the great rehab facility. Yeah. So, I mean, he will have the access and the means to get back as quickly as possible. But that is a devastating blow for Hillsborough, really. And from the
one
top
of the premier players.
One of the premier players. And just a really bad time of the year. Yeah. For Hillsborough, just from a topper perspective, coming into the Litchfield Invitational Tournament, regionals really not that far away. So,
well, I mean, think about it. He was playing well. He had a chance of setting the men's scoring record. That's probably out the door now. I mean, it's
the one good thing for Dylan Miller, the silver lining is he's already signed his national letter of intent. So that's the good thing.
Yeah,
That's safe.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
But from the topper perspective, big blow because it was set up to have a pretty intriguing matchup, one you don't often see around here. A couple of premier big guys would have squared off in Litchfield.
Yeah, and there was a lot of buzz being talked about that around the area with Jacob Lawrence from Civic Memorial. I think the MVP of last year's tournament.
He was the MVP of the last year tournament.
And then him going up against Dylan Miller, both around 6'8". And the difference with Dylan's a kind of a scrawnier 6'8". I mean, he's not scrawny, but he's kind of a slimmer 6'8". Jacob Lawrence is just he's a truck down low. I mean, he's like 6'8", 260 pounds or something.
He's an aircraft
like that.
Carrier. Yeah. That's what Al McGuire used to call him.
Yeah,
right.
He's a post player. That's what he is.
Hey, David, you saw Hillsborough last night. It was literally good. Montgomery County last night for the county on the line. Litchfield, Hillsborough, Nokomis, Lincoln. Well, that one went down to the horn. We'll get to that in a moment. But you saw Hillsborough without Dylan Miller. Litchfield, final score wise, appeared to control the game.
Yeah, they did. Litchfield got up early in the first quarter, and once they took the lead, they didn't really surrender. They got up 12 at one point, And then Hillsborough made a bit of a run in the second half, got down to one, but credit Litchfield because, you know, they dealt with adversity. The lead was down to one, and then they got it back up to 17. So, I mean, Litchfield played pretty well. But Hillsborough played really well without Dylan Miller, and they've got some nice pieces. And more importantly, they've got some nice pieces who are very young on their team.
It's going to be such – there will be an adjustment period for Hillsborough, no doubt. When your team is geared around one guy doing so many things for you, it's going to take time and just practice to readjust yourself.
But somebody's going to get an opportunity to play. And that somebody may be able to help you if Dylan's able to return later in the year, may come off the bench. And with the experience garnered in Dylan's absence, you never know how that might help out. I mean, yeah, it wasn't a good thing to have happen, but sometimes you take the lemon and make lemonade.
Yeah.
And we'll see how the toppers respond here.
And if he can come back by regional time, all these other guys who have had to step up and do things that they weren't asked to do, you're just going to be better off for that.
Well, certainly could change the look of the Hilltopper team, where maybe a multidimensional team where you have more weapons that you have to worry about. So,
a few really, really good underclassmen who looked good last night. Stephen Finsky, of course, the sophomore. Yeah. Austin Grabo, I think, is a sophomore. He's a freshman or a sophomore. I think he's a sophomore.
I think you're thinking of Peyton.
Peyton's a freshman, yeah. Peyton also looks good, but I think Grabo's also an underclassman. He looked good coming off the bench. So they've got some very good young players. And Peyton, I tell you what, I don't want to overhype him, but he looks like the real deal.
So you're just going to go ahead and overhype
him? I don't want to overhype him, but I'm just going to go ahead and overhype him.
I said with all due respect.
Yeah, this kid looks really good.
No pressure now.
Who's been looking good is Connor Simmons from Litchfield. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what. What got into him?
The switch has been thrown,
goodness.
And he is in hyperdrive, isn't he?
20 points in the first half, and it finished with 29. So, yeah, he's doing
something
else.
He's averaged
scoring.
Like 30 points a game, like
pretty much
over his last probably 7 or 8 ball games.
Last night's game was a typical rivalry. There were hard fouls. In fact, there was one that Louis had to pull to, and I think Connor was one of them, and Cody Calk was the other one, and forced them to shake hands because that's how hard of a foul it was. And Yeah, it was a typical rivalry game last night.
It was a very good rivalry game last night.
Litchfield won rivalry game number one. Rivalry game number two went down to the horn, and there was a heck of a finish heard here on FM 106.
So it's going to be Lincoln Woods basketball on their own baseline with 11 seconds to go in the game. Lincoln Wood down by 3. So here we go. Kyle Thomas will inbound the ball. Comes out front to Sale for the 3 for the tie. Good! Derek Sale with 19. We're tied at 50. 4 seconds to go. Here's Herb Street for the winner. The baseline jump and down! Andrew Herb Street gets the game winner at the buzzer!
There you go.
Imagine,
good stuff.
Imagine a Herbstreit coming up clutch for the
How about
well,
that?
Well, you know, when I heard that last night, Terry, I thought to the state tournament a few years ago when Nokomis hit a shot at the buzzer. They've had some
Evan Huber there,
They've had some exciting wins, just the last 5 years the buzzer in some pretty big games. But that one last night, Nokomis-Lincolnwood, a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, you know, rivalry night. And really, Nokomis led 10 to 13 points most of the way. Lincolnwood began chipping away there in the fourth quarter, got it down, to 6 points, struggled, got it down to 3. Then late in the ball game, had the opportunity for the tie, and you know, Derek stepped outside, the big kid, and hit the 3-pointer to tie it up. And I was kind of thinking in the back of my head there might have been a timeout called somewhere in there. No, you know, play just continued. So when that sort of thing happens, you just take the ball to the hole. And that's what Herbstreit did. He pulled up and at the right moment, hit the little baseline jumper, and Nokomis wins it by a deuce.
So. And to me, so many times now you'll see coaches in that situation, it would have been the Kimbrough, call a timeout immediately after the opponent has tied the game. But then you allow the opponent to set their defense, when you can just get the ball and go, and they're on their heels. I mean, that's exactly what happened last night. Let your playmakers make a play.
Sure, and then it's up to Lincolnwood, of course, to get back on defense and try to prevent things. So, it was a great finish. It was a great rivalry finish and a good crowd, and that's the sort of thing we live for. Great games.
Absolutely. I saw Nokomis on Tuesday at Litchfield beat the Panthers. To me, Nokomis is coming. I mean, they're now 2-0 post Christmas, and I know their record was whatever it was before the holiday.
They're 5-8 now.
They're 5-8.
But
how many of those 11 games prior to this week were against the schools they're going to be playing in postseason?
Many.
Probably not many.
Not many small schools played in those first
11 games. But four underclassmen and a 6'6 post player who can score the basketball.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I'll take my chances.
They play so hard, and each game you hope to get a little bit better, and I think that's what they're looking for with the lack of varsity experience
The bar for Nokomis is so incredibly high. Like, if you go onto the IHSA website and you look at their record just since Steve Kimbrough took over, like, it was like 81 was his first year. Three losing seasons out of his first four. Get him out of there. The guy doesn't know what he's doing. Hasn't had a losing season since. Since the mid-80s. Think about that. At a small public school with the kids that roll through. You see it all the time. There's always a talent void.
Sure.
Every small school has it to where there's just a group of a couple of classes back-to-back where there just isn't much athletically there. It's been the case at Nokomis.
Sure.
It has to have been, but it hasn't slowed him down because he just knows what he's doing.
Well, and the one thing that small schools oftentimes do not have is the consistency. Tim, you played for a coach who was there for a long time, Coach Lafka. You know, the man won, 700-plus games in 40 years at Bunker Hill. How? Because you're going to have your talent years that are a little bit thinner than others, but it's the consistency, you know, the high expectations, the work ethic. It's putting all that together. And I think that's one thing that's oftentimes so overlooked in the fact that if you don't have consistency, if everybody doesn't know from the top all the way down what's going on and how you want to run things, it can be a huge disadvantage. And Nokomis has taken advantage of it. I mean, all these kids, their dads played for Kimbrough. So, you know, it's...
Well, it's not the first time a Herb Street has hit a big shot
for
Nokomis.
Heavens no, you know. And he'll probably hit a few more in the rest of this year and the next 2 years at the varsity level.
He's only a sophomore.
So, yeah, he played very well last night. I thought he had a nice game last night.
Two sophomores, two freshmen.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
Youth? Yeah, well, you know, if you got game, see that, you know, and that's where athletics gets it right in a lot of aspects of life. If you've got game, you're in.
Right.
At varsity. Age has nothing to do with it. If you've got the skill level, you're going to play.
If you can play.
You know,
that's right.
And there are other biases in other areas of life where that just isn't going to happen. But in sports, if you got game, buddy, you're in the ball game.
And
up and go.
That's right. And the beauty of sports is you never know. The old saying, that's why they play the game.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Holiday tournament, Cromville beats Bunker Hill by like 27.
Mm-hmm.
This week, Bunker Hill goes and beats Cromville. Go figure.
Well,
that's why they play the game, though. You never know. Night to night, you just do not know what you're going to get. You may think you know.
Sure.
But
it's not unusual to see a team swing 40 points one direction after a 20-point loss and then getting a 20-point win. We've seen that over the years with good teams. It's just a matter of making some adjustments. And, you know, that's one thing teams like Nokomis and Coach Lafka's team always were able to make adjustments. They're a good second-half team and a second-half of the season team. So
that's right.
Coach Lafka always talked about starting to play the best at the Macoupin County Tournament. You know, you wanted to start your peak area right there because that leads you right into the regional tournament. So
That's exactly right.
He have some success over the years.
He did.
That, so.
Yeah. Coach Kimbrough has done the same. Successful years as well.
Well, you know, and Nokomis is one of the few teams that does not have a holiday tournament that they go to, the boys. And it seems like that 2 weeks off, they tend to magically...
They're always much better after Christmas break.
That's not magic. That's hard work.
The players say there's no magic. Yeah. It's called cranking the heat up and running for 2 weeks.
There you go.
Magic. What are you talking about magic? Yeah. I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Practice is heck, and the games are fun. So.
That's exactly it. You make practice so miserable that the game is just fun. That's exactly right.
That's right.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
And at 9:20, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
Tobinot, thank you very much. We will have the Fighting Illini on the radio tomorrow.
Yes.
Big Ten play continues.
6:30,
and they coming off a big win against Maryland. That was a must game for Illinois on their home floor.
Well, and Dave made the comment earlier in the day. He says they got a shot because they'll be without Ravonnie Rice.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you wonder how that can turn out, but I think, as we'll get into it here in a little bit, perhaps it forced Illinois to be more of a team.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, Ravonte Rice is Illinois' best player.
Sure.
And sometimes, you know, when your best player goes down, other people have to step up and kind of maybe do something they weren't asked to do later in the season. And that will be the case with the Hillsborough Hilltoppers now, as Dylan Miller is out for, about 3 weeks. We're going to find out from Joe Vanzo right now, the head coach of the Toppers, joining us on Sports Saturday. Coach, good morning. Thank you for a few minutes of your time. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling me.
I guess let's get right into it, Joe. How long will Dylan Miller be out?
Right now, the prognosis is Dylan's going to be out for about 3 weeks. He's went and got two or three different opinions. With the type of competitor that he is, he wants to just tape it up and go. But we're thinking long term here, and going to make the smart decision and make sure that he's 100% healthy before we get him back out on the floor.
Of course, Joe, Dylan is signed and committed to North Dakota State. Have they been in contact with you guys at all? Do they have any say in, I guess, the rehab process or his return date?
No, actually, we haven't discussed anything since he's been injured. They're busy in the middle of their season, and, you know, Dylan and his parents, you know, are making the decision on what to do, what's best for him and his future. And right now that's rest and to get healthy.
And I guess, Joe, no matter what level you're coaching at, a coach's main job a lot of times is to protect the player against themselves.
Absolutely. You know, Dylan's a great kid, and he's having a tremendous season, and you really feel for him, you know, seeing him over on the bench and not able to contribute, but he's handling it really well. He's a great teammate last night on the bench. In fact, at halftime, he was filling up water bottles for the rest of the team. You know, and that's just the type of kid that he is. You know, we're going back up for the second half, and here's a kid that scored over 1,300 points and filling up water for the rest of the team.
Whatever it takes, right, Joe?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Joe, I guess, though, it's always a next man up situation. So now it's just an opportunity for other kids on your team to step up, because he is coming back this year. He will be back.
He will be back. And you know, the thing that we talked about is we just have to embrace the challenge that's in front of us. You know, we have really, our kids have done such a great job of, you know, being coachable and, you know, working the ball and playing their role to where we are the best possible team that we are. And they've done a great job at, you know, getting Dylan as many shots as we can get him. And, you know, we've placed limitations on them, you know, for 10, 12, 15 games, and even, you know, with a lot of the kids, you know, 30 games last year. But with him being out, you know, those limitations are now gone. We still need to take good shots, but you guys get a good shot. We're looking to let it fly. So really, we got about six or seven games here where, you know, we got some guys that are gonna figure out how to score a little better with him not on the floor, and then when he comes back, you know, we should be a lot better than where we were. So there really could be a silver lining here, you know, for us and. And as long as our kids, you know, just really embrace this challenge and fight through this and work to get better each and every day. And then when Dylan gets back, it's going to be like, you know, we just won the lottery, you know, or at the trade deadline, we just got big acquisition right here before postseason play. So that's the way that we're looking at it, and we're really excited about it.
And, Joe, not only do you lose some scoring punch there, but Dylan did so much defensively to alter things, you know, take the norm away from the opposing teams, that you'll miss that aspect of it too.
You're absolutely right. You know, you look in the paper, you look at the stat sheet, and you see that he scores about 26 points a game. And it's like, well, Coach, how do you replace 26 points a game? And from our standpoint, the thing that we've been focusing on is defensively, he just does so much for us that does not show up in a box score. You know, guys are a little more timid taking the ball to the basket because they got a 6'9" kid that's lurking down there underneath the basket, and You know, he grabs 14 or 15 rebounds a game. And, you know, I will admit our kids have not done a great job at boxing people out this year. And the reason is because Dylan just grabs everything. And I mean, he does. He grabs everything. He doesn't need to box anybody out. He plays above the rim. But with him being out, you know, we're a team rebounding. I mean, that is a focus for us. We have to box our guy out. We have to rebound our area. Otherwise, we're going to get, you know, we're going to get destroyed on the glass a little bit. So when Dylan comes back, also, our kids are going to have to be better defensive rebounding-wise because they're forced to with him not on the floor.
Joe, I guess timing-wise, it's kind of a good thing and obviously never really a good thing, but he will be back for postseason. But at the same time, the Litchfield Invitational Tournament right around the corner. That's a tough week.
Yeah, it is, and it's also an exciting week. Honestly, it's one of the things I look forward to most during the season. I really enjoy the Litchfield Tournament. By then, everybody's playing their best basketball. You see some different teams. There's some really good competition. And we've done well over there. Last year, we did really well over there. And I was really looking forward to it. Really, you know, still looking forward to it. It just, you know, it's a bad situation with Dylan not being able to play. But, you know, at the same time, you know, we're going to put five guys out there. The other team's going to put five guys out there. And, you know, we're going to get better.
So. And Joe, we talk from time to time about how athletic sports teaches life lessons. This is one of those life lessons times, isn't it?
Absolutely. No guarantees. We tell the kids that every day. Whether it be, you know, seniors, this is the last time you might ever play Litchfield. I mean, we got to embrace that, you know, leave everything out there, you know, don't take anything for granted, you know. And the case with Dylan, I mean, we didn't even know that he was hurt. You know, so let's say that his foot was, you know, a more serious, that his injury was more serious, and he was out 8 weeks. You know, he played his last basketball game a couple weeks ago over at Williamsville. We didn't even know it. You know, so you really just got to, you know, take nothing for granted, leave it all out on the floor, and just enjoy every second that you're out there.
Joe, when you came in, the enthusiasm level just went skyrocketing through the gymnasium at Hillsboro, and I still see that level of excitement and enthusiasm in the Hilltopper program. And just hearing you talk, it's wonderful to have that. It's great. And I know you're going to weather the storm here and get Dylan back. But, you know, keep up the good work, man. I think you're doing a great job over there.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. It means a lot.
All right, Joe Vanza, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, good enough to join us here on Sports Saturday. Have a good day, Joe.
Hey, take care, guys. Thank you. Yeah.
If the coaches at Hillsboro could just ever find a way to relax, you know, just relax a little bit.
But you know, when you're successful, that tends to relax you. You know, of course, the process of getting there is maybe a little tricky, but you know, you really like to see that enthusiasm. And of course, they've got some younger kids coming up through the system as well on the boys' side. So
I love the mentality of the Hillsboro, I guess, philosophy as far as like coaching goes. I mean, nobody wants to win as much or more than Hillsboro does, but boy, they have fun. Yeah. Boy, they have fun.
You know, you should have some fun.
And you absolutely should. You know, but boy, do they have fun. And good for them.
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah, yeah. Good group of guys, you know. They do it. Joe and his group and his assistants do a really great job over there. So, and, you know, rivalry night, you want a packed house. You want, you know, that's what high school sports is all about. You got to realize that probably the rest of the world doesn't get what we get. You know, it's one of those little things that that we as Americans celebrate, and we as Illinois basketball fans get to partake in. So,
and boy, they work hard. I mean, he mentioned defensive rebounds maybe being a problem.
Woods going all the way to Hardin.
Yep, that makes sense
for their boys regional.
That's a 7-team regional.
Is it a 7-team?
7-team
regional?
Regional. Brussels, Bunker Hill, Metro East Lutheran, Calhoun, Madison, Mount Olive, and Lincolnwood.
So it seems like since they've gone four classes, it seems like there's inevitably around here one 1A school that winds up in kind of an odd place for a regional.
Well,
it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So, yeah, the travel part is part of the routine anymore, part of the norm.
I tell you what, though, if you're going to have to travel, Calhoun's a good place to go for a postseason. I'm telling you right now, Lincolnwood.
They're going
to
feed you.
They're going to feed you. Oh, my goodness, are they going to feed you. And I'm talking about, like, river folk here. I mean, you're going to get, like, homemade lasagnas. And I went there a few years ago.
Better than that.
I'm telling you, you got to go before and stay late.
And stay late. I mean, they got homemade pies. I went in there after the game. I just simply wanted a bottle of water for the long trek back home. And I walked out of there with, like, an armful of pies and cookies. They basically, I couldn't leave without them giving it to me.
Yeah. They fire up the whole back room, and they, it's all homemade.
Oh, it is.
Everything's homemade.
Delicious.
It's delicious. And they're great hosts.
They really are.
They really are.
Nice facility.
And they enjoy having those tournaments. So, and you know, if you're going to travel that far, I guess it's good to have that sort of thing.
I would say so.
Yeah. And we'll see how that shakes out. And before we know it, it'll be here. So,
one thing you know about Calhoun, they'll have a 6'6 Ballman somewhere.
Somewhere.
They're lurking. They're lurking.
I guess the news came out this week, and this has been like a short week for me, but the IHSA, the school, said no to the format change for football.
We kind of figured that was going to happen. When we talked to Matt Troha, he said he didn't seem to think there was much of a chance for it passing. But, you know, you got to run it up the flagpole once in a while and vote on it and see what happens. Again, my opinion was if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
And I think that the playoff system, where some people might find that not knowing what class you're in a disadvantage, I find that an intriguingly unique part of the playoff picture.
That's right.
On that Saturday when they announced the pairings.
So it's a little more intrigue.
Yeah, a little more intrigue. You never know if you're you're a borderline school, you could be bumped up or bumped back down.
I would still love to see a sample of the regions. See where
you could probably, somebody's probably got that at the IHSA office. They probably looked at that and probably passed it around so that some of the principals could take a look at it, though whoever voted on it. So
very glad it failed. Very glad.
I was hoping it would go.
I'll admit, I was hoping it would pass just for the intrigue of something new. So we are on opposite ends of this.
Yeah, we are. News not necessarily better. I don't have to have the absolutely newest iPhone. I don't have to have the 6. The 5's okay. It still somewhat works.
Hey, let's talk about the Illini.
But first, we need to take a break.
Oh, we do?
Oh, we need a break.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll take a break on Sports Saturday. We'll come back. Illini got a big win this week, and, well, they're right in the heart of Big Ten play. We got them coming up tomorrow. We'll talk about that next. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, the Fighting Illini back in action tomorrow, 6:30. In Big Ten play at Nebraska. Nebraska, Rutgers, and Maryland.
Get used to it, right?
Get used to it. Oh, yeah, Nebraska's been in the Big Ten for a couple of years now, several years, but still have to remember that they are a Big Ten team now.
Yeah, it's tough.
They were the preseason number 2 favorite in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
Too.
Yikes.
So,
pregame at 6:30 Sunday night. So
that's when you know the Big Ten Conference basketball may be having a down year. Nebraska's the number 2 team.
Or the fact that Michigan lost to the New Jersey Institute of Technology.
And Eastern Michigan.
I still can't get over that. And then Illinois blows a 13-point lead.
Oh, yeah.
The Illini are just hard. Well, they're not hard to figure out. You know exactly what you're going to get. Inconsistency.
That was the Ravonte Rice Illini team still. We're dealing with the post Ravonte Rice Illini.
Dave came up to me that day of the game. He says, hey, you know, they're going to be a different-looking team tonight because Rice, although he brings a lot of good to the table, you know, they're going to be forced not to look to Ravonte Rice.
Well, and he'll get a little jack in him from time to time. He'll just start putting it up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he hit that game winner against Missouri, which was a great shot. But since then.
Then he turned around and tried to hit a game winner against Michigan and airballed it from 17 feet.
So. But I think the Illini, you know, defensively played a lot better. They hit some shots on their home floor, which maybe, you know, shooting is a little bit easier. They're a little more accustomed to it. But I thought defensively they played very well against Maryland the other night.
Well, everybody always plays better at home, and you have to win your home conference games, especially when you started 0-2 on the road.
Right.
That was a big game for Illinois. You can't start 0-3 in a conference like the Big Ten.
And then go on the road for 2 more games.
Right, and expect to dig yourself out. Also, you're looking at 0-5 in the conference, and the tournament's not looking so hot. But now all of a sudden, it can turn just that quickly. Sure. It's never too early to start looking at your tournament resume. You know, but you got a win over Baylor. Mm-hmm. That's a good non-conference win. And that win over Maryland, I mean, those two wins right there, those are those quality type of wins that come March and selection time, those will pop up on the good side.
And again, I think Illinois is a situation where with the youth that they have, the team is going to continue to improve as the season rolls along. The team that we've seen here most recently it will not be the team that we see a month from now, because I just think they're just going to they're going to be forced to have a different dimension or a different look without Ravonnie Rice.
Yeah.
And they're going to force people to step. You know, Joey Vanzo mentioned it when without Dylan Miller. You know, the toppers are going to have to crash the boards. Illinois is going to have to, I thought they did a better job crashing the boards the other night. So,
and you know, they've Hill's got guards.
They've got guards, and you got to have guards.
Got to have guards. And they've got Malcolm Hill. Malcolm Hill. He has really come into his own here in his sophomore year.
So,
he's their best player in a lot of ways.
I tell you what, Gross has got the guys he wants. These are Gross's guys. And Illinois' basketball fortunes will rise or fall with these guys, and I think they're definitely going to rise.
Well, exactly. To me, John Gross is doing a fantastic job. I don't get caught up in their wins and losses right now, because we're so quick to judge. Once he's been there 6 or 7 years, then to me you can start judging him on the wins and losses. I judge him based on the recruiting, though.
Sure, there.
And not necessarily who you get, but who are you in the running for? Illinois was in the final three with Kansas and Kentucky for that top kid who just announced
Cliff
this week.
Allen.
This year. I can't remember his name right now, but he was just announced this week. He went to Kansas, but he said Kentucky, put on the Kansas hat, and meant Kansas, but said Kentucky. But Kansas, Kentucky, Illinois. Those are the final three. So the fact that Illinois is even in that conversation with those two schools to get that type of talent, that tells me John Gross is going the right way.
Plus, the expansion of the Big Ten Conference now to the East Coast and a little bit further west when they went to Nebraska, you know, the base for the Big Ten has increased dramatically. And this is going to aid the people like John Gross and all the other coaches in the Big Ten Conference. So Gross is a great recruiter.
He is.
I mean, and he's a good coach. I mean, this guy is jacked up, and he is – he's got these guys fired up, and they're his guys. That's what impresses me. They're his guys. You know, we're not looking at the part of the old regime here.
Right.
They're his guys, and they're going to – they're playing the style of basketball I think they're going to need to play to be successful in the Big Ten Conference and especially in the postseason.
To me, the type of player they're missing, that Big Ten post type of guy, that James Augustine type of player, you know, that big guy with that type of skill set who can step out and knock down the 15-foot jump shot consistently, pull down 10 rebounds a night. They still don't really have that Big Ten post type of guy. Once they get that guy, then I think they're really moving in the right direction.
Speaking of which, this is the 10th anniversary of that team this year, this season.
How about that?
Gosh.
Because that was the 2004-05 team that went.
That's right. What a team.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They were undefeated for all the way to the last game of the regular season. Yeah. And, of course, this year with all the talk of will Kentucky run the table, they almost got knocked off at home the other night in their conference debut.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't hurt them to get a loss somewhere on the line.
Not at all. I think they'll lose a road conference game
You wonder if the Illini losing as late as they did helped them make a further tournament run.
It probably did, because you don't really want to carry the baggage of undefeated this day and age with all the media and all the hype that's going to go with that. If Kentucky or Duke this year rolls in undefeated, I mean, that's a circus.
Because
that wasn't there in the 70s. If Indiana did it now, it'd be a circus. But in the 70s,
Indiana did it back then, Bobby Knight would have been in jail, because he probably would have killed a couple of people. So.
And wasn't Wichita State unbeaten last year going in the tournament?
Yeah, they were.
We saw St. Joseph's the year after, or a couple years after Illinois was undefeated.
Before.
Maybe it was right before.
It was the year before.
But they lost late.
To Thad Matta's Xavier, who was the coach of Ohio State when they beat Illinois. So back-to-back seasons, Thad Matta upset an unbeaten team.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe, that team, David, 10 years ago.
Yeah,
man, that was better days in Dome history.
Yeah.
Can you even remember that, David? Were you even alive then?
Yes, I was. I was watching those games.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That was
a fun team to watch.
We've seen so many games, it's hard to remember them all.
That's right. I remember the game. The Arizona Elite Eight.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hard one.
Yeah,
they were finished. They were dead in the water.
State had been stuck with the fork. They were done.
That was the best Illini team in my lifetime.
Oh, yeah, well.
I went to the Dome.
Them or the Flying Illini. You got two choices, really.
Boy, true.
You
know, true.
I wasn't alive for that one.
I went to the Dome. they had an open house to see the floor in that for the Final Four in that.
By the way, this is kind of off subject here, but when we had Matt Trohan last August, we were talking about football, and I think he also mentioned the fact that the IHSA's opened up the archives for the some of the video. Mm-hmm. And I've been perusing some of that video and watching the Staunton Bulldogs state championship game and the Hillsborough Girls state championship. This is Nokomis Girls. This stuff is awesome. This is awesome. They've got the video up. If you get a chance on a snowy afternoon, maybe you want to watch some of our local teams and compete or some great games. And they go back quite a bit. They've got some of the earlier games from when the Assembly Hall was first opened up. It's a great service here. It's free. Go to YouTube, and it's on the IHSA website. So
nice.
To take it in, it kind of gives you goosebumps when you watch this stuff. You're going, holy mackerel.
I'm actually surprised some of that video hasn't been leaked sooner with all the video technology and that. Yeah.
People well, IHSA, you know, they won the right in court to do all this stuff in-house, and that's right. Part of what they do. So, you know, they keep – and now they're making it available. So pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Staunton Bulldogs. Last true Cinderella.
The last true Cinderella team, I'm telling you.
There'll never be another.
Boy, that trophy sure looks nice when you walk into the gymnasium down there, doesn't it?
It does. They'll get their football trophy put up someday. We don't talk about that.
Got to make a little room yet.
Point of contention. We are out of time here on WSMI Sports Saturday. For Tobin, Terry, David, I am Tim here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville.